We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Y'all, we are so blessed. You and I get to come into the presence of the Lord because of the blood of Christ. No other reason. There's no other reason. I pray in Jesus' name that you are not depending on anything other than the blood of Christ for your deliverance, for your salvation, for your eternity, for your future, for anything that you are. It is Christ alone. Period. 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 If you've got your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me over to the book of Leviticus. You're like, where in the world? Yeah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, that's where we are. The book of Leviticus, we're reading through God's Word, continuing to, going to finish this year, going to finish the Old Testament, and that's what we're reading this week is the book of Leviticus. Great book, because in it, you and I have just what we sang about. We have access to the Lord. We have access to God the Father because of what Christ did, because of the sacrifice. Remember back in Exodus when we were reading how you get over to about chapter 32. Remember Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai and he has not come back. And the children of Israel begin to do what they're so famously known for. They begin to grumble. And they're like, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. And they go to Aaron, and Aaron, they said, we want a God, we want someone to serve, we want to worship someone. So they commenced to creating this massive, well, it really wasn't actually massive. They took all their jewelry off, they took all that stuff off, and they formed this. Remember when Moses came, how when Aaron's like, look, we just threw it in there and out popped this calf. Remember that? They were worshiping idols. These are God's chosen people. Remember, God said, I will be your God and you will be my people. That was the promise he gave to Abraham. He said, look, I'm going to make you my very own. And I want to walk with you. Here's the deal. Remember the last time we see in Scripture, God walking with man was where? In the garden. God, when he brought the children of Israel out, he desired to literally be in relationship, to walk, to tabernacle, be literally in the presence of his people. That's what he was able to do there in the Garden of Eden before what happened, sin entered the picture. And because of sin, sin separated the relationship that God and man had, and they were severed. It was not forever severed. It was severed until a point. When you get to, God calls out his people out of captivity there in the land of Egypt. God sends Moses. Moses leads the people out. God is desiring to have a people that is his very own, to have a relationship with, to be in close proximity to. See, God don't want to be way up there. God wants to be with us. Remember, he tells us he's going to put his word literally in our heart. But something has to be dealt with. And that is sin, and that's where the book of Leviticus comes in. Look at chapter 1. Actually, turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and go right back, probably in the same opening. Look at the last few verses we read about in the book of Exodus. And it says this, beginning in verse 34. Then the cloud, this is Exodus 40, verse 34, says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because of the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all the journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel went out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was a fire in it by night. in the sight of all the house of Israel. So they saw God, but he was at a distance. It was like arm's length. They knew he was there, but they could not be in relationship with him. They had to go through this mediator. So much so, notice here in verse 1 of the book of Leviticus what it says. It says, the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the meeting tent. So God, before, notice this, you got to see this, it's very neat. Before the book of Leviticus, God is calling from Moses from the tent of meeting. It's like God's in here and he's talking to him out there because there's a separation. Here's the deal. Sin always separates us from God. Guys, even today, our sin literally still separates us from a holy and righteous God. If you're living in sin, if you're living in active rebellion to God, first of all, if there's no conviction, then there's no salvation. If you can just live in rebellion and live anti-Christ, opposed to the Word of God, if there's no convicting power of the Holy Spirit, there's no salvation. But if there is a conviction, if there is a, hey, you shouldn't be here, this isn't who you are, this is not who I saved you to be, I've saved you for so much more than this, and that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, praise God. God wants to walk with his people. He wants to be in relation with his people. When we enter the book of Leviticus, God is speaking to them from. It's like there's a separation. But notice this. Turn all the way back to the end of the book. Go all the way back to the end of the book and notice a very interesting point. You get all the way back to the end. This is what we're reading this week. Let me encourage you, read the book of Leviticus. It's not a simple read. In it, you're going to read about rituals, and you're going to read about a lot of sacrifices. You're going to see the festivals. All of the festivals are going to be brought in. You're going to see about the Day of Atonement. You're going to see lots and lots of things, but it's all necessary to get us from a place that we're separated from God. Notice, you're sitting at the last of Leviticus, right? Turn over to Numbers chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Notice how something happens. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. Where does he speak to him at? In the tent of meeting. Notice that. Then the Lord God spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meeting on the first of the second month in the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt. So something happens in this book, Leviticus, that allows humanity to be brought back into a right standing and in a right relationship with God. We start the book, and all of these kind of flow. Moses wrote these. This is all in a flow. Timeline, where are we at? They're at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses has gone up. He has come back down. They're at the base of Sinai, and these are the rules. This is how it's supposed to be. They have gone from a place of being from God to, by the time you get to Numbers, they're literally in the presence of God. What happens? Guys, I tell you what happens. Sin is dealt with. And it's still the same today. The only way you go from the presence of God to in the presence of God is sin has to be dealt with. It has to be. And Old Testament sacrificial system. We learn it here in the book of Leviticus. Go with me over to chapter 19 of the book of Leviticus. Look at what God says. Here is the theme. If there is an overarching theme, it's found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. Notice this. Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, are holy. Look over, look at chapter 20, look at verse 7. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 24 of chapter 20. Keep reading. Hence, I have said to you, you are to possess their land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. Look at verse 26. Thus, you are to be holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. God wants a relationship with people. He wants a relationship with you. Just as he desired to be literally in the presence of the people there, he desires to be in the presence of people even today. But God is holy. And when in the presence of God is holiness, if you could imagine, if you could take this picture right here and imagine I am playing God, here's God, everything around him must be holy. Begs the question, how am I going to get where God's at? How do I get to in the presence of God? Something's got to happen. Because is God going to let sin into his perfect surroundings? See, the book, there's a theme. It's God's gracious. God is absolutely gracious. He lets us. He literally, we go from the beginning of the book to being talked to from the tent of meetings to the end of the book to where you begin Numbers. They are literally standing in the presence of God. What happens? What has been dealt with? Guys, what has been dealt with is the sin problem. The only way you're going to get in the presence of God is the sin problem being dealt with. Yes, he's good. And you say, yeah, he's just and he's all of that stuff. What happens? Guys, how does sin get dealt with? Something has to die. To get in this presence, something literally has to die. The entire book of Leviticus, all the way through the first whole bunch of chapters, talks about the sacrificial system. Something literally has to die. They come and you'll read about, they talk about what they're doing is they're taking the sins from the people. The Old Testament sacrificial system that God used to be able to bring the people into his presence because he is not going to allow sin. The only way someone gets into the presence of God is something has to die. God, we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to our sins. We have to die to our flesh. We have to die to us. But you know what? You can sit there and say, well, I'm going to be really, really good. I'm going to be really good, and I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop saying that. I'm going to stop thinking that. I'm going to stop watching that. I'm going to stop living like that. I'm just going to stop. And here's the deal. The thing is, though, we can't keep the law. People say, I'm going to try to be good. I'm going to try to get better. I'm going to try to work some things out. I'm just going to continue to try. The question is, how is that going for you? It's not working, is it? No, because here's what happens. Every time we think we can do something on our own, we fall flat of our faces. Every time we think we can fix it, in our own strength and in our own power and in our own abilities, we fail miserably because we can't. There's nothing the children of Israel could have done to get into the presence of God, and there's nothing that you or I today and no man on the face of the earth today can do to get in the presence of God. It had to be God doing it. God had to intercede. God had to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And therefore, God sent his son. Just as you'll read about how that lamb, whether it's a bull, whether it's an ox, whether it's a lamb, whether it's a pigeon, whether it's a turtle dove, whatever it is, something had to die. And before it was killed, they would take their hands and they would place their hands on top of the animal. Every single time the priest would take his hands and he would place it on the head of the animal. And it was as if the sins that I have committed, the sins that the people have committed, would be transferred onto this animal. My sin are no longer on me. They're now on that animal. And you know what they did to that animal? They killed it. They fully killed it and they burnt it all. And it completely was annihilated because of the sin of the people. But instead of the people being completely annihilated, the sacrifice was annihilated. There was a substitution that took place. See, in the book of Leviticus, what we see is God's Old Testament substitutionary atoning work of that was through oxes, and bulls, and rams, and goats, and sheep, and doves, and pigeons. But they had to do that here all the time. You'll read about the Day of Atonement, the annual Day of Atonement. The priest would walk in and he would do that very thing. He would take a sheep, two sheep, two goats, and he would lay his hands on each, and one would be sacrificed and one would go free, the scapegoat. Guys, what God did so that we could be brought into his presence, what God did for us, what God did, we are fools. How could you neglect so great a salvation? How could you play with life, play a game of life thinking that you know better than the God of this universe? How foolish is it of a man? We deserve whatever hell has to offer if we neglect so great a salvation. That's what the book of Leviticus talks about, how you and I can be brought back into a relationship with God through the old system. You notice out there, I've not asked, nowhere in the bulletin is it to bring an ox or to bring your bull or to bring your pigeon or to bring your grain offering or your wave offering. Nowhere do you have that. But you know what we have? We have Jesus. Go with me over to the book of Hebrews. Go with me over to the book of Hebrews. You know, even the New Testament still tells us, even the New Testament still tells us, writes there in Peter, listen, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which was yours in your ignorance. But like a holy one who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behaviors, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You say, Brother Shannon, that's Old Testament. That whole Leviticus thing is Old Testament. Yeah, but that holiness of God, he does not change. It transfers all the way into the New Testament, and it rolls all the way up to us today. Hebrews chapter 10, turn there with me. Look at Hebrews 10. Guys, you cannot save yourself. You cannot wipe away one sin. You cannot be good enough. You cannot be. It doesn't matter what a preacher told you in the past. It doesn't matter what a belief system you grew up in. It does not matter. You must trust Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, you must believe. It doesn't matter what you were told that, hey, you're either born saved or lost. No, the Bible says you've got to believe. It doesn't matter what somebody said. It doesn't matter. Yeah, but my family taught me this. It doesn't matter. The Bible says this, that you must be born again. You must be. Because of what Christ did, look at what Jesus did. Remember the Old Testament, Leviticus that we're reading. A way to bring people back into a relationship, but they had to do that all the time. Annually, the Day of Atonement, the priest would go in all the time. Every time you touched something, if you touched something, you became unclean. If you did so many things, made you unclean. It was just like ridiculous. You were constantly unclean. How what will set us free from this body of death? Hebrews chapter 10 reads this. For the law, since it only has a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, it's talking about everything you're going to read in Leviticus. The law. can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Listen, God wants to be in the presence. How? Only perfect people can live in a perfect heaven with a perfect God. How do we enter that presence? What do we do? How are we made perfect? Verse 2, otherwise would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have to have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, talking about Christ, he says, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you have taken no pleasure. Then he said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written, to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering, time after time, the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made his footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected. Only perfect people can stand in the presence of a perfect God in a perfect heaven. How then are we made perfect? Through Christ. His one sacrifice has perfected for all times. Those, look at what Scripture, I'm not making it up. We're reading it verse by verse. It's what the Bible says. Don't argue with the preacher. Argue with God. And when you stand before him and say, hey, I had a better way, then you're calling him a fool and you're calling his word a lie. He's not lying. It is true. His word is true. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He says, in their sins and their lawless deeds, notice, I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Guys, only through Christ do we have access to God. Only through the sacrifice of Christ are we made right. Look over with me. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Look here with me. Chapter 5. Look at verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. Look at what Scripture says. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's how we're saved. We no longer have to bring bulls and oxes and sheep and goats and rams and pigeons and turtle doves. And no, what Christ did, he did for all. What Christ, the sacrifice there on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood, when he died, and when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father, what he is doing is he is transferring, just as in the Old Testament, they were transferring the sins of all the people onto the onto the body of the animal that is about to be slain. The Father there on the cross of Calvary, he transferred the sins of men onto the sinless Son of God. And he stood in our place. And he substituted himself for us. And the punishment that every one of our sins deserved was laid on Jesus. And there on the cross of Calvary, the wrath of God was poured out on Christ Jesus. One offering for all times. No longer have to go year after year. One offering, one sacrifice atoned for all the sins. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Jesus says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You don't have to continue to do it on your own. You do not have to continue to try to figure this life out. Y'all, the search is over when the Spirit of God shows you Christ Jesus, the search is over. Salvation is only found in Jesus. Nothing we do, but in all that he's already done. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. Father God, I pray, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that if there is one in this room that's still trying to figure it out, and, well, I just got to do a little more, and I just don't know about that, and I don't know if I'm ready, or every excuse that they've used how many times before today, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would break that stony heart before eternity gets them, to where they enter into an eternity to where they are out of your presence. God, I pray that no one in this room will spend eternity out of your presence. If anyone does, it's because they chose to. If anyone does, it's because they rejected Jesus. If anyone does, it's because not that you weren't good. It's just because, Lord, they said no to Jesus. Thank you for saving me. You are the Christ. I receive you. Jesus, you are my everything. You are my Lord. You are my Redeemer. You are my sacrifice. You are my Savior. You are my hope. You are all that I have. You are my only reason. Lord, if there's anyone in here that cannot say that, Holy Spirit of God, draw them to yourself. Break that stony heart. Save them before eternity gets them. Please. In Jesus' name.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.